this is loud. Woo! Okay, I'm going to get it secured on, hopefully. And so we don't have too many issues here. That's kind of weird. Is that okay? Can you hear me? Do you feel good? Okay, thank you, thank you. I would just love to say welcome. Thank you for being here. I'm humbled and I'm honored to have this opportunity, this platform, this space and time. And I'm also humbled and honored by the fact that you would choose to be here. That you may be coming just to support, you may be coming for extra credit, you may be coming, you know, just to hear some new thoughts. And it is all okay, and it all just makes me feel very loved. So I wanted to make sure that I started off by saying that and looking at all of your faces and just expressing that gratitude. So my name is Lindsay Luter, and I am from Ozark, Missouri. I am a senior here at Harding University, and I am a general studies major. And so before you're like, well, so you don't know what you're doing with your life, I kind of have some idea. My main emphasis is in the behavioral sciences, and my minor is in Bible and ministry. So hopefully I'll pursue something in counseling or ministry or maybe both. We'll see. All exciting things. So before we just like dive in straight to the content of this evening, I would love to just start this time in this space by taking a deep breath. By breathing in the stillness and the presence of God in the here and now, and by exhaling the hour-to-hour schedule that we probably all have lived today, by the assignment that you just turned in, or the lunch date that you just ran from, or just the things that are happening, I would love to just take a deep breath and just relax and acknowledge God in this place right here and right now. And so what makes sense in doing that and what feels right for me in doing that is to start this time with a time of worship and of prayer. As you can see, we're going to be talking about the gift of God's presence. And it would be funny if we were talking about him without acknowledging him. So I think that it is fitting that we do that before we jump in. So we're going to sing a song and we're going to pray. And so I've asked my dear friend Abby Smith, who is gifted and who has a heart of worship and a heart that loves people and loves the Lord. And so I've asked her to just lead us in a song, and then I've asked my mom to open us up in prayer and just pray for me, pray for this space and this time, and just to invite the presence of God to just be with us. I know he is, but there's a difference in knowing that and asking him to join us and looking to him. So we're going to do that before we get started. So, Ab?
The Lamb, holy, Lord, it seems almost even silly to even say that you are holy, because we know it, but we don't know it. We don't even have a fraction of knowledge of your holiness. We are so in awe of you and who you are, who you have created us to be in you, the way you have shaped us and molded us. And today I just invite you to be in this place in your fullness. I pray that you will bless Lindsay and that your words will flow through her, and that all that are in this room may receive and be blessed and be filled, and that when we leave this room, we will have just a little bit more knowledge, understanding of your holiness and who you are. We love you, Lord. We are so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you all. These are two women that have impacted my life greatly, have been spiritual leaders and challengers, people that I look up to. And so thank you all for sharing in that. We're going to start with the video.
What is an open heaven? We talk about it in church, sing about heaven coming to earth. Honestly, what does this really mean? How do I live with my feet in this world and my eyes fixed on another? I've seen the promise of new life. Heard that people can get healed. I've had moments where I've loved beyond myself. But I want more than just a moment, more than just a glimpse. Heaven has already come. God is with us. It's not just a nice thought or theory, but a real experience. What if open heavens aren't places or circumstances or encounters, but me fully convinced of my access to Him at all times? I've come to the end of myself and finally know it's not about my talents or gifts. His world breaking into my world hinges on one simple truth. The awareness of His presence right here and right now. God is not just with me. He is not just near me. God is in me. I embody His presence in my lungs, my bones, my soul. He is fully with me right here and right now. And I owe the world an encounter.
So have you ever felt like His world was breaking into yours? Have you ever felt like heaven was open almost, and you were able to be aware of His existence, of His presence actively in your life? For me, I think the first time, or maybe one of the first times that I can really vividly remember feeling like that gate was open was on a mountain. And so some of you might be laughing or smirking a little, because I love mountain stories, and I maybe tell them far too much. Hannah was a co-intern with me, and she's cracking up right now. but it's it's where God has met me a lot in my life. And I think of the many people that he has also met on a mountain, and just like throughout the Bible. So my story starts on Summit Day. And we woke up very, very early before the sun came up. And we, you know, there's just the anxiousness and just a little bit of fear going into that day, knowing what we had already done and how hard it was and how physically taxing it was. And also just looking ahead to think, okay, this is it. Like, this is the day that we get to figure out, you know, if we're going to make it or not. And so it feels like just a lot of pressure. I was carrying a lot that day. And Summit Day, you don't have to carry your packs. You just get to carry a light backpack. But I was carrying a little bit more than that. And at this particular time in my life, I was maybe just carrying, I was carrying some weight of hurt. I was carrying some weight of hardship in our family. I was carrying some weight of feeling numb. It's funny that this is coming back right now. Because in the moment, I was shut off. In the moment, I was numb, like I said. And what is funny about that is I thought, I've got to prove to myself and everyone else that I can make it up this mountain. And so I looked ahead of me at this mountain, and I guess you could kind of correlate it with life in general. And it just felt like, okay, I am going to do it. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to shove the things that are maybe weighing on me. I'm just going to pretend like they're not there, and I'm going to do it. And and so I started, you know, like we started on our summit day trek, and my legs were growing numb along with my lungs and to match my soul. And so, and so like the whole time, you know, I'm just like, I can do this. Like, I'm going to show everybody. And I really don't even know if I was aware of that attitude that I had in the moment. But I became aware. And we made it to it was a false summit. It was like we could see the summit. It was right there. And we had to stop a little bit before we got there because the storm was coming in. And our guides had us turn around. And we looked out. And, you know, if you have ever been on a mountain, you know that there is nothing like that view. There is nothing that compares to just the vastness of God's creation that you get to witness, and also the realization of how small and feeble you are. And so I was not going to give in to that feeling, of course not, because that would mean that I would have to be real with what I was feeling. That would mean that I would have to acknowledge what was going on in my life. And so I was just looking out, and I was like, okay, this is cool. Like, I'm not going to get into it too much. And I remember one of our guides said, he said, look out. He said, and examine God's creation. Allow yourself to be in awe of his handiwork. See his marvelous wonders that have been created. And then he said, and then realize and know that he would rather watch all of that creation crumble and turn into dust than to not have your heart. And so, of course, I was just like immediately the Lord was like, okay, Lindsay, time for some humble pie. And that spoke straight to my heart. And I was overwhelmed with his goodness, with his holiness, with his just majesty in my life. And that the God that created all of this would still choose me. And so that is one of the times that I felt as if I could, I had a sense of the awe and wonder of just wanting, I didn't know what else to do. What do you do? How do you respond to that feeling of God's overwhelming love? You know, it's like too much. So that feeling of just wanting to just say, holy, holy, holy are you, God, most worthy of my praise, you know, just over and over. And I felt as if I could have a glimpse into heaven, into the scene that's described in Revelation 4 whenever the angels and the creatures are surrounding the throne, bowing down before him, proclaiming his holiness and his goodness day and night, forever. And so I think that that was one of those moments for me that I just, I got to experience some of that. And so that story was a moment for me. That was a couple of maybe hours of me having this revelation and this experience and this feeling of love and God's presence in my life and recognizing who he is. But what is so cool is that in heaven, it's a continuous declaration. And I loved being able to just like envision that for a moment. And so I think coming from experiences like that of being able to see God, if you've ever like been able to see how he's revealed himself in some ways, you recognize his holiness and his goodness. And so there's like this like trickle of effect. There's this way that we say, how does that affect us here and now? God's holiness in the throne room, what does that mean for us? And so because of his holiness, because he is perfect in all of his ways, because he is sovereign, he made a way through his son Jesus that he sent to our earth to be among us, to live with us, and to buy us with his sacrifice, to redeem us, to wash us, to make us new. And he had this plan. He had this holy plan the whole time. But what is so impressive to me about this plan is that it didn't stop there. Whenever Jesus ascended to heaven, he didn't leave us. And that his promise has been true throughout this whole earth of just he has given us the gift and the opportunity to engage in his presence through the Holy Spirit. So just like being able to rest in that knowledge that he dwells within us, that we have been given that opportunity, that we weren't left alone, that it's just the whole completion of God's plan and his holiness. What makes this gift so special, this gift of his presence, this invitation to engage with him? I think whenever I think about gifts, I would say that gift giving wasn't my gift, which is kind of funny. But I think of whenever I receive something and my immediate thought is like, oh, you didn't have to do that. Or like, you shouldn't have. Or just like, wow, that is so kind of them. For them to think about me and to go out of their way, you know, to just try to bless my life. And because they didn't have to. And I think that that's what's so sweet about a gift. And so what like blows my mind in all of this is God didn't need us. He doesn't need us. He is a God of relationship with even without us. He is God three in one. He could have sustained because he had a creation that was also proclaiming his glory. Like, he could have been good. He could have been like, whatever, you know, I'm fine. But he chose us. And he created us specifically for relationship with him. And whenever I think about that, it is just like, it is overwhelming. And so, what I think is one of the biggest humbling pieces in all of this is that he didn't need us, but that he chose us. And that in his choosing, that he will never doubt. He will never question himself. He will never come across a day whenever I do something or you do something that's maybe a little questionable, or like he will never be like, man, woof, that was a bad decision. Like, wish I could take that back. Those words, that attitude will never come out of his mouth or be what he feels. Like, he will never be uncertain of sending his son Jesus to connect us with him while we're still here on earth. And that is just incredible. And so if you're ever looking for a little sweet treat of humble pie, which I need sometimes in my life, there it is. So just remember that. So in moving on, you can switch. I recently just finished reading Present Over Perfect. This is a book written by Shauna Nyquist, I think is how you say her last name. And she is the daughter of Bill Hybels, and he is the head pastor at Willow Creek Community Church in Chicago. They're a huge church. They're reaching a lot of people and doing some really cool things. And so she is an author of several other books. And this is something that just came out, and it's been very sweet to see the way that the Lord has led me to this in preparation for this talk, and how he was able to speak through her life experience. And so this book is about her telling a story of her life that was run by efficiency, her life that was all about work, all about earning, all about success, all about gaining her worth, gaining her place, gaining her love. And it's about shifting her focus from a place where it's about her doing into a place of her looking to God and receiving, a place of connection, a place of maybe stillness, a place of recognizing that it's not because of her good works that she is loved. And so it's this beautiful story of how through this process of her learning and shifting her focus, that God has just enhanced and enriched her life because she's looking to him. And so she just talks about different ways that he has shown up and ways that he has changed and molded her heart. And so this book has been a blessing to me. And I think that it's such a sweet reminder and it's a very countercultural way of thinking and living. And I think it's just like refreshing. It's just like a breath of fresh air to me. If I was just looking at the surface of this, I might be like, meh, like that's pretty cool, but like I've heard that before. You know, like, I don't know, it doesn't maybe have a lot of depth or whatever. But I found that as I kept reading and as I kept thinking and as I kept just really trying to ask these questions of, you know, why is that important? Or, you know, like, what does God really intend for us, you know, here? And how does he want to engage? I just found that, like, there is so much simple but deep-rooted truth in this way of living. And I think that it can connect, especially with, like, Western culture. I would say we maybe have a little bit of a, like, running on the clock life problem. I don't know about you all, but if you've ever been to a different culture and, you know, they are like, well, we'll meet at, you know, 8 a.m. and then things don't start until 8:30, 8:45, you know, like, it's just very, our culture is run by time, by efficiency, by your personal success, by the way that you perform and what you have to show for yourself. And so I think that we all can relate or learn from this to a certain degree, and maybe in different aspects. For me personally, I think that I had a problem with saying no. So like if you're out there and you've never said no in your life, like I've been there and done that. So you're not alone in that, but I would say that it's not the best way of living I've found. I found myself to get burnt out very easily. I found myself to not be able to give myself fully to whatever I was engaged or involved in because I was like scattered and running around and like strung out between 100 different things. And so you know, and I think that, you know, there are different aspects of this way of life that each of us can relate to. But the good thing is that I feel like there's the right heart and there's the right intentions behind it. If you think about this life of wanting to do good, you know, I want to do good because I want to be good. I want to advance good. But, and so there's this good heart that is behind all of it, that maybe like compels us to make sure we got this perfect or run over here and make sure that that person's happy that we told we would do this thing for, or meet up with this person and talk with them, or get all A's. And so there's this heart that desires to do good. And I think sometimes, though, in that desire and in that heart, I was being a little bit of a Martha instead of a Mary. I was trying to, you know, do good and trying to get all my bases covered. And whenever it came time to just be in the presence of Jesus, in front of my Savior, and be with Him and rest in that, I was too busy thinking about the things that I needed to do and make sure that I wasn't disappointing anybody. And so I think that we can get caught up in those intentions, and just like in the way that we're trying to do good. And I think sometimes we have this whole equation backwards. Something I said all summer long to ninth graders, I'm in my youth group, I said, which is something that I'm learning to be true in my life, is that you don't have to do good to be good. You are good because He is good. And I think that that's something that I am learning. And so instead of trying to desperately work and please and do and gain and earn love and worth and value in this world, it's just like switching that around, because that's not it at all. And that's what she talks about in this book. It's just as simple as longing for God, as looking for Him, as acknowledging His goodness, His presence in your life, and carving out time where that is made the priority, and allowing Him to fill you and to pour into you. And from those things is where the good works will come from, is where you will be able to connect with others. You'll be able to do what He desires for you to do. You'll be able to please. And so, like, out of those things, His goodness will flow. But if we try to gain it on our own, then we've got it all wrong. We've got it backwards. And I've been guilty of that in my life. And so just like my kind of like open heaven experience, where I was just able to see God and acknowledge His presence in my life, it just allowed me to be seen by Him, and allowed me to let go, and allowed me to allow His truths to come in and wrap me in love, and to start doing what He does best, and heal, and set back on track. And so what's hard to think about in some of this is that if we were created, you're like, okay, Lindsay, well, you're making this sound like it's just so easy. And so if we are created and we are designed for relationship, if we are created and made to engage with the Spirit, and it is as simple as just a redirection and a refocusing of our thoughts and our focus and how we get to that point, then why is it so easy to miss it? Why do I walk around in my day-to-day and like, and not acknowledge His presence, or try to do things on my own? Or why do I continually like have a hard time seeing it? So I was asking this question, oh goodness. And, the first story that came up in my mind, was the time, I'm gonna take it all the way back to freshman year. So just go with me. Okay. Try to love me through it. So picture freshman Lindsay. I'm having a hard time transitioning into college. You know, like, I didn't want to leave home because I had a really good there. As you can see, my parents are awesome. And so I got to school and I was just like, oh goodness, like, Lord, just help me make it through this first week. Okay, so first week of school. Make it through the first 2 days, and I'm like, okay, I'm alive, and I didn't hate it, and I think I made a friend, so, like, I'm okay, I'm doing good. And so I make it to Wednesday, okay, middle of the week, pretty big milestone. I've already done, like, these classes, so I'm feeling, like, really confident in myself, like, really good. And just, like, ready to take on the day, and not to mention the weather was absolutely gorgeous that day. Like, it wasn't the typical, like, scorching heat, you know, that is Arkansas in the summer. And so I have most of my classes done, and I go to the cafeteria, as every good freshman does, and I got some deli sandwich or something, I can't remember, and I sat on the left side of the calf, you know, unknowing that that's not where I needed to be if I wanted to make connections. So, hey, I was a freshman, it's okay. And I was sitting at this really high top table, you know, like the really tall ones that are like smaller. And so you say, Lindsay, why are all these details important? Ah, you will see. So I'm also going to tell you about what I was wearing that day. And guys are like, this is dumb, don't talk. Okay, but it's important. Okay, so I was wearing a skirt, a long skirt. It came all the way down, except this skirt was not just any regular skirt. It was a double layer skirt. Okay, so stay with me. The underneath layer came about to where this dress does, and then the over layer came all the way down to my ankles. The layer that was on top was sheer. For those of you who don't know what that means, see through. Okay, so this is all good information to know as we enter into the next events that occurred. I have a great time at lunch. I'm ready to go to my one class left. I'm just like feeling so good. And so I slide off my chair and grab my bag, and I head to the Reynolds, the farthest place from the cafeteria on Harding University. So I am walking, and I didn't have any friends to walk with me because nobody else had gone to the Reynolds. And so I'm just like strolling along, like people are looking at me. So I'm like, hey, like, how's it going? Like actually saying that to strangers, like I don't know them. And so I'm just like so feeling it, feeling confident, and you know, and it was just a beautiful day. And so I make it to the Reynolds, and I'm walking into the side doors, you know, where the stairs are. There's a whole bunch of people, and you know, like it's a good time. So I'm just like chilling with my friends that I don't, you know, with strangers. And all of a sudden, a hand grabs my arm, and I was like, whoa, like, back up. Okay, I'm just, like, trying to go to class. And this girl gets all up in my ear, and she was like, and I was like, what? I was like, what are you saying? And she was like, there is something wrong with your skirt. And I was like, nah, girl, like, we're fine. Like, it's chill, whatever. And so I just kind of, like, backed up and kind of, like, felt around. And then it hit me. That, whenever I had slid off of my chair in the cafeteria, the underneath part of my skirt had ridden up, and it had stayed, if you know what I'm saying, exposing the backside in all of its glory. So I had then paraded across all of Harding University just completely oblivious, had no idea. Some of you are cringing for me. Thank you. It was horrible. And you know, you would think, surely she would look around and say, why is everyone staring at me? Or like, it's a little bit more breezy today than usual. You know, something, like something. And so I was just astounded by the fact that I could go that long without recognizing what was going on my body. I had no idea. I was completely oblivious. Oh, bless me. Just let me through it, okay? It's just like, what in the world? I was trying to be liked. I was trying to be cool. I was trying to be like, yeah, what's up? You know, just feeling it. And like, it just is so funny to me now to look back and think how my how my vision and what I was interested in gaining, you know, acceptance or love or just like, hey, how you doing? Or somebody liking me, and how that could be like where my focus was to not even know what was happening. And I think that is just a representation of how this life can be just a continual like trap of go, 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 of you've got to do this, and you have to turn in this, and you have to perform well in this, you have to please your parents this way, you have to make sure that you are performing at your best ability. And I think that we can miss in the busyness of all of that just what is happening right in front of us, or even in us. And I think that sometimes I have missed, and I know that we all can miss, God just saying, hey, hey, if you have a minute, I'm here. I've extended the hand. The invitation is yours. I'm looking at you. Please, please, just look back at me. And I know that he wants nothing more. He expects nothing more. God is not a God that is going to expect you to come with all these incredible things. And he won't love you anymore. He just desires you to be aware and not to miss it. He desires that of me. What's incredible about this is I can kind of feel like helpless in this crazy whirlwind of life, but the cool thing is, the reassuring thing is that you and I, that we have the power to choose. Just as God had the power to choose us as his people, we have also been given that freedom and that power to choose what we make a priority in our lives. We have the power to choose what we're going to engage in our day-to-day basis. We're going to, what we pray about for the future, we have been given that. And it's just God, like, it's just God waiting for us, just waiting for us to choose him. And so I think this is hard sometimes. And so I was trying to ask, why is it hard? You know, I've just laid it out here as this simple equation of, you know, like, well, you do this, this, and this, and you just turn your eyes towards him. But I do think that it is hard. And I think that's because being in a relationship, looking back at God, accepting that invitation, is allowing yourself to be seen by him. It's allowing yourself to be vulnerable. It's allowing yourself to also look at yourself as God looks at you. And sees every part of you, the good and the bad and the everything in between. And it's scary and it's hard, but the gift of what God offers is that it will never, like, he will never be let down, and he will never let us down. Like, he will always be ready and willing to engage and receive. And so there's a part of Shauna's book that I wanted to read real quick. There's several quotes. But she, in this section, is talking about prayer and how she has learned how to connect with God just better and more vulnerably, and allowing him to see her. And so she has this metaphor of oil and vinegar in, like, this, you know, like at the cool Italian restaurants where it has, you know, like, the oil and vinegar in the bottle or whatever. I don't know. You pour it out for the bread. I don't know. But vinegar and oil, you know, don't mix. And so the vinegar sits on top of the oil. And so she is describing how in her prayers she has learned that if she can come before God, accepting his invitation and choosing to be vulnerable, choosing to allow him to see her, she first has to pour out what she calls the vinegar. Pour out the things that maybe are hard for her to recognize, hard for her to want to think or feel through. But she says as she does that, God takes them. But then it provides a way for the oil. It provides a way for the goodness and for his truth and for his love to come back and wash over the harshness of the vinegar. And so this is what she says. As I do it, I can feel my heart release, dropping into the hands of God who holds it tenderly. And I start to feel connected and loved, even though I am fragile, even though I am weak. Maybe because I am, because I'm not frantically trying to hide the bottle of vinegar. When I admit that it exists, when I bring it to God in prayer and silence, that's when connection can begin.
He doesn't ask me to show up and catalog my strengths. He doesn't ask me to show up and abuse myself for my failings. He asks me to bring my whole fragile, strong, weak, good, bad self. And that starts with the vinegar and then makes its way for the oil. She goes on to say that God, here it is. You cannot taste the oil until you pour out the vinegar. And it's okay to admit that there is vinegar. All of the small hurts and enormous fears, you pour it out, letting the all-powerful God who knows you and loves you and sees you as you are. The scariest thing any of us can do is allow ourselves to be seen. And so, in thinking about that, is something that may be hard, that may be something that holds us back from wanting to fully engage with God's presence. But I think about what a gift his mercies are, what a gift his love is, that they are new every morning, and that they wash away the vinegar in those meeting times, and they just bathe it in oil. I think about that this process is not just a one-time thing of engaging with God and in his presence. It's not just like, hey, God, met you, experienced you, woo, like, I'm good to go. It is something that is a continual and intentional choice and act over and over and over and over and over. It's a continual surrendering. It's a continual seeking and longing and recognizing that we need him, that his presence is life here on earth, that his presence changes everything, that his presence comes in and does what we can't, that his presence comes and brings heaven to earth, and that we get to experience that and to be vessels for that. And I don't know about y'all, but that is good news. That was good news to me. And so I wanted to take a second and go on down to Romans. Just remind us of what Romans 8:38-39 says. And it says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so Shauna, in her book, also talks a little bit about this and how it just changed. Once she was able to accept that she didn't make herself good, but that God made her good, so much changed for her about his love. And so I'm going to read another little part of this. She said, and I remind myself of what is true, that God loves me and that there's nothing I can do in this new day to earn more love. Nothing. And also that there's nothing I can do in this new day to ruin or break that love. Nothing. I can't imagine anything more life-changing for an earner like me. That love is secure no matter what, no matter what, no matter what. No matter what I do or don't do, no matter whether I succeed or fail, no matter if I perform well or fall apart. And when I begin the day drenched in that love, that centering awareness of my worth and connection to God, the day is different. This type of connection is what we were created to long for. This type of feeling of wholeness, of understanding our worth, is what every single person is striving after. And I remember that she has one more thing that I wanted to read, that she's talking about this. She says, that is what we are craving, the sense that we matter, that someone sees us, that we are loved and valued. And so some of us try to earn it. Some of us try to avoid the pain of unworthiness by escaping. Some of us try to pretend to be perfect instead of admitting that behind the image, we feel as small and unworthy as we ever have. And so she's saying each soul, every soul is worthy because God made every soul. And because of his love, his son came to earth and walked among us because God's love for us is deep and wide and elaborate, that he wants to be with us, to walk with us, to teach us how to live in that love and in that worthiness. As we wrap up today, I hope that if you haven't allowed yourself to fully receive or accept God's invitation into his presence, and receive that gift of his love, that you would ask yourself why. That you would search for what is holding you back. That you would maybe admit what is too scary and what is keeping you from it. Or maybe what we're holding as a priority above being with God. But what I do know to be true is that he deserves our lives. And he is worthy of all we have to give. Of all of our love, all of our affection, all of our attention, our energy and our time. Because he has given us nothing short of that. He's given us everything that we need for life in him through his son Jesus and his continual presence with us. And he is just waiting to engage with us. And so this is the last thing I want to read. And it is a commitment that she wrote and that I hope can be the commitment that we all can declare over our lives. But what Shauna is saying as she's reclaiming her own life, she says, "This body and soul will become again what God intended them to be, living sacrifices offered only to him. I will spend my life on meaning, on connection, on love, and on freedom. I will not waste one more day trapped in comparison, competition, proving, and earning. That is the currency of a culture that has nothing to offer me." She says, "I am offering myself in the whole of my life once again to Jesus. And in that, I'm leaving behind both my tangle with achievement and my workaholism and my neglect of my body and my spirit. I am offering to Jesus a body, a mind, a spirit, a life, a voice, a table." So here is the distinction. It is for him. It is for Jesus. But most importantly, it is with Jesus. My hope and my prayer is that as we continue to walk in this life, that you and I will find connection with his presence here and now. He dwells among us, but he longs for us to acknowledge him. He longs for us to invite him along with us. And so I pray that that will be what flows out of this, and that you will seek after him. And learn what it means to really accept and receive the gift of his presence, as I am learning to do the same. And so I would like to pray for us as we close.